Counting's not done in some states, but after last night, new this morning, then the U.S. House of Representatives will be under GOP control for this next session. What priorities are the Republican-led House going to choose to tackle, and how are they going to tackle them? We'll put that on the plate. Montana's newly reelected congressman will join us to discuss that agenda and the changes coming in Congress. We've got leadership on the plate. We also have a question from a listener in Washington who listens. Thank you, Wendy. We'll get to that one today about diesel fuel priorities. And then it's the 121st Brawl of the Wild, and Grizz great Scott Guernsey is going to join us here to talk about this rivalry, the national spotlight, and he'll have some fond memories. He never did lose. He just did not drop a game to the Bobcats, a part of that 16-game winning streak. That'll be fun a bit later on. Here today on Voices,
it's time for the fastest hour in radio from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Call in today, 866-627-5483, or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. Now, here's your host, Tom Schultz.
Thank you very much. I'm spreading out some Grizz memorabilia that I have here and books and things like that. And it's going to be a little bit, maybe too much fun, and chatting with Scott Guernsey a bit later on. I worked with him on the Grizzly broadcast for a number of years. I did the pregame show and sidelines, and Scott was in the booth, and he's one of those guys who never lost to the Bobcats, and I admit I've grown soft on the Bobcats because I did some basketball for them for a season as well, and really appreciate that program too. But you know, deep down, once a Grizz, always a Grizz, I guess. I'm going with that. Congressman Matt Rosendale joins us now, and I won't waste any time because we got a lot of things to talk about. And first of all, Matt, congratulations. A nice win in this election, ran a good race. Just your thoughts on how that all played out, and maybe, you know, what you're thinking right now.
So I will sum that up very easily with promises made, promises kept, Tom.
Good.
I told folks how I was going to serve. I think that there's no surprises in the things that I did. And as I go around, you know, people say, do you campaign differently because you're only going to be representing the eastern side of the state now? I don't consider any of it campaigning. I literally don't change what I'm doing. When I'm back in the state, I visited with you many times. You know, I take the time to visit with schools. I visit with businesses, and I visit with elected officials, and I continue to do the same thing, whether it's an election year or not. And so people know exactly what they're going to get with me. Look, you don't have full agreement with everybody all the time. It's just not going to happen. But they know when they leave the room that I have listened to them, I have considered their input, and then I share with them honestly and candidly where I'm going to be on a subject. And I really believe that that's what people are looking for.
So now you represent, like you mentioned, District 2, half the state, so to speak. Can you just say you're a Bobcat now and you're cheer for the Bobcats, or do you still have to kind of play the both sides?
You're not going to get me in that trap, my friend. I am not even going to get into that trap.
Okay.
I went to a county fair in Weibo about 10 years ago, and it's when I was in the legislature. And I was representing Weibo, Dawson, and part of Richland County as well. And they're like, so which county fair do you like the best? It's like, oh, no. I said, each one of them has something to offer. You know, Weibo does the chicken dinner. Dawson County, Glendive has the best nachos going. And Sydney up there in Richland County has the homemade brats. So I can find something good everywhere.
All right. I'm convinced. That's good. What changes? Last night, the GOP officially kind of took control of the House, so they'll have that majority. What changes for Congressman Rosendale and the state of Montana?
There has to be changes, okay? We cannot continue to put the same people in charge with the same rules and think we are going to have different outcomes. It is not going to work. Kevin McCarthy put his name in the hat to run for Speaker of the House. This is a two-step process that has to take place. The Republicans in the conference first nominate who they want to send forward, and then that individual goes on to the House floor, and the entire Congress has to elect them as the Speaker. Kevin only received 188 votes yesterday in our conference. You need 218 votes. The conference, I will tell you, feels that each member has earned and deserves equal participation in the legislative process, like we have back in Helena. Everybody has a voice, and that's only going to be returned to Congress with major rule changes, okay? The restoration of the rules. It's not even trying to do something dramatically different. It's talking about restoring back to what we call regular order. And a group of us, Tom, submitted in writing. This isn't just verbally. In writing, had a published book that we put together, a list of recommended amendments months ago, which would restore that regular order to the House and the ability for me to fully represent Montanans as they deserve. Problem is, Kevin is not willing to make those changes and wants to maintain the status quo, and that consolidates power with him and a very small group of people that he selects. It's called the Rules Committee. There's nine people on there. And those nine individuals and Kevin McCarthy would then dictate what bills get brought up, what amendments get debated and considered, and it's just not acceptable. Montanans deserve to have their voices heard. They deserve better than that.
Congressman Matt Rosendale with us here. You know, and I think that's a point that gets by people in returning to regular order. It has been such a long time. I mean, we've talked about it in the past, about the budget process. There are normally a dozen or maybe 13 bills, appropriation bills. And for the past decade plus, it might even be going on two decades, there's been no regular order in that. I very much appreciate that. What is your take?
And this, look, go ahead, Tom. Yeah. This is why there were 31 individuals that voted for Andy Biggs, representative out of Arizona, to represent us as a speaker, and there were five more votes for someone else. And so at the end of the day, again, Kevin doesn't have the 218 votes that's necessary. And if he doesn't allow me to represent the people that elected me, then Kevin won't have my support and does not have my support.
Yeah, and that'll be interesting to see how that plays out, because there's discussion regarding, you know, now inviting members of the other side of the aisle to come in and weigh in on leadership in the House, and that it just gets messy. We look forward to that. Go ahead, Congressman.
No, that's look, there's going to be all kinds of different threats and theories floated out there to try to intimidate us to put Kevin in as Speaker and allow him to consolidate the power and to take it away from the individual members of Congress. But we cannot be intimidated by those threats. That is not what I was sent there to do. I was sent there to represent Montana.
Thank you. I want to, and there's lots to talk about in that regard, but let's go to one issue here that I want to make sure I get to. We only got just a few more minutes here. And I got this email from somebody who listens. Wendy is her name, and she listens in Washington State. She's a native Montana ranch girl and catches the show on the podcast and the live stream. Just curious if you can ask someone if there's a plan for prioritizing diesel to farms if and when the supplies get too tight. I know it's really tight, and I'm going on here. I know it's really tight in the East here. What's that look like?
So I'm glad you brought that up. I started having conversations about a month ago. As I told you, I travel all around the state. And obviously, with agriculture being the number one industry in the state, they have very close contact and ties with the agricultural community. And the shortage or the threats of shortages of diesel fuel is very concerning. That we've already dealt with the high fertilizer inputs and the droughts and everything else. And so I'm having conversations right now and trying to work on a plan to make sure that we're prepared for those shortages. And very well may, my recommendation would be to allow for dyed diesel to be used on the highway. We're going to have to get some kind of an exemption from the IRS and get the governor to give us some support on that. But if, in fact, clear diesel becomes the shortage, then we're going to have to allow people to use dyed diesel. And I would also be supportive of the state being able to just put on a holiday, if you will, the state fuel tax, so that we could bring that price down a bit, because right now is becoming problematic, if you will, not only for the farming community and agriculture community, but literally for everybody across the state, where we drive hundreds of miles on an almost daily basis, and that becomes a financial burden that the people of Montana should not have to absorb.
Is there would they prioritize, though, if diesel does come to that point where there's a shortage, and I know the prices is would reflect that in a lot of ways, but would they or can they prioritize if for different industries?
You would certainly think that the federal government would do just that. When we start talking about national security and then for health and safety purposes, which food, right, is number one, then I would certainly be in favor of that, making sure that we do prioritize.
Quick text message here at 781-627-5483. Mr. Rosendale, what can you do to get veterans dental care?
Dental care is something that only is awarded to the veterans. It's my understanding that have received 100% disability rating, and in which case I think that what we need to do is focus on every veteran that has that eligibility to make sure that if they're not living very close to a veteran's facility that has dental care right within it, that the first thing they do when they go to set their appointment is request community care. Because if they do not specifically request it, then they're not going to be able to go outside of the veterans network and receive it. So they need to request community care. And that way, if they're not near that facility, they'll be directed to be able to go out and get it where they need the care, when they need the care.
Congressman Matt Rosendale with us now, representing District 2, or soon. I guess that's going to happen in the new Congress in January. Won this recent election 57% of the popular vote. The nearest competitor was at 22%. What about committees? Anything changing for you? Veterans Affairs, Natural Resources? What do you think is going to happen?
The committee work, yeah. So what they do is they go through a process and designate what committees you're going to serve on. And I can tell you that I did not request any changes in my committees because I think that it represents our state very well. And so right now, serving on Natural Resources and Veterans Affairs, I think is very important to the state of Montana. And so that steering committee that gets together, which they'll be getting together here before the end of the year and making their decisions and recommendations. As it stands now, I anticipate that I will still be able to serve on both of those committees, Veterans Affairs and Natural Resources.
Is there anything that needs to get done between now and January in Congress that can get done or even can't get done?
It's my understanding we're going to be dealing with the NDAA again. My first choice would be to make sure that we remove any of the vax mandates from our military and our service members so that we can get our reserves back up. We can get our recruitment efforts back up again. The recruitment efforts have been down by anywhere from 25 to 40%, depending upon which branch of the military that you're looking at. And we lost in the neighborhood of 60,000 reservists because of those vax mandates as well. And I think that they are wrong and they need to get removed. So my first effort would be, if they're going to attack that between now and the end of the year, let's go ahead and use it as a tool to get the vax mandates removed. The president himself has even said that we are no longer in a pandemic. So stop purging our military.
Super. Did you bag a buck this year yet?
I went out and hiked around the ranch. Thanks for asking. I had two full days, not consecutive days, but I took a day and I hiked around, and I actually did carry a gun, and I saw some nice deer, and then that's all I've done. I'm hoping to get back to Montana on Friday, as long as they don't change voting schedules around, and then maybe the beginning of the week I'm either going to try and do some deer or maybe even some elk hunting.
Yeah, good. Congratulations again, Congressman, and thanks for checking in with us like you do.
Thank you so much, Tom. I always appreciate talking with you.
Congressman Matt Rosendale. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate that. And Scott Guernsey is on the line. We'll go and talk about this 121st Brawl of the Wild. But, man, I mean, we'll talk about the 120 games. Well, maybe not that many that have happened before this as well. What a rivalry. Back with more Voices of Montana in just a bit.
As we pay tribute to our nation's heroes during Veterans Month, AARP Montana wants to thank all those in uniform, along with their families, for their service and sacrifice. As a way of expressing gratitude for defending our freedom, AARP has set up a special free resource site dedicated to Montana veterans and military families. Because veterans often face a unique set of challenges as they age or retire. Find this special free resource site online at aarp.org/mtvets.
Well, we should have Brian Bennett with headline news here in a little bit, but I might get talking here and just completely forget all about that. Welcome back. It's From Montana, For Montana, Voices of Montana. Tom Schultz alongside as we're two decades strong and working on three. Objective perspective. Let's welcome, I don't even know how to introduce this guy. I got to say, Scott, and thanks for being here. Number 21, formerly, when you were playing football, you were just like one of my favorite players. Of course, there was a lot of good players. Scott Gregg, Shalom Baker, of course, you know, Super Dave, Billy Cockhill. Man, there was a lot of good football players, 91 through 94. At one point, at the top of the career receiving and game receiving. But that is kind of... You're down that list a little bit now, Scott. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, Tom. Thank you so much for having me on. And one of your favorite players, you know, I hear that a lot, and I think that part of the reason is they said, you know what, that guy looks like he just got off the couch and he's doing some good things out there. Maybe I could do that too. I think that's part of the appeal, Tom.
Well, you're probably not wrong, and you've been in that broadcast booth for a lot of years too, haven't you?
Yeah. I want to say that I was the color commentary with the great Mick Colleen for 16 years, and then the pre and the post tailgate. I want to say with the illustrious Denny Bedard for maybe 8. So we're getting close to a quarter of a century of letting me express my opinion and love for the Grizz, and it's been an awesome way for me to stay involved with the program.
Do you remember all the Grizz Cat games that you played in?
Yeah, to an extent. The first one in 91, I remember it was bitter cold down in Bozeman. I believe Kurt Schilling had a big interception in that game. Maybe I was punting at the time, and the ball was as hard as a rock, and it hurt. And then 92, of course, was at home in Washington Grizzly Stadium, and I believe that was the last time that the game wasn't the final game of the season, if I remember correctly. Like it was in 93 and 94, but. You know, I don't remember so much plays anymore, Tom. I just remember atmosphere and what it was like playing against those guys and the hatred and the the teammates and the camaraderie and stuff like that.
Well, and I have said this before. I did a sports show with Mike Rankin and uh-huh. All-American. And Mike, you know Mike, he's this calm, he's got this great voice, but the week of Grizz Cat, that dude changed. He was not the same. Do you get that feeling?
Oh yeah, he was a little bit prickly, is that, is that maybe, and prickly as in like intense.
Yes.
You know, it's cat week, and it's just a it's a feeling that you can't describe. It's I want to say mortal enemy, but you know, back in the day, it's not so much anymore being you know, away from playing for so long, and I don't know exactly what it's like for the current players, but I'm sure it's very similar. You're on edge. It's bragging rights for a year. It's brother against brother. You know, family against family, and it gets as intense as you can imagine.
Oh, I remember it too, being on the sidelines for a number of years, just watching. I remember Shan Schillinger one time. I mean, his hands were bleeding, and it was this was in Washington Grizzly Stadium, and it was just another bitter cold game. But he had a look in his eyes. He wasn't feeling anything but, you know, the rivalry. It really is special. Can you describe it? Can anybody describe it?
You know, it was funny because, you know, coming from the state of Washington, a town called Tumwater over there, kind of by Seattle. I don't say that very loud anymore. I really didn't know quite what the rivalry was all about until, you know, that first game, and I was a redshirt and just saw the intensity and the bloodthirst, the hatred. And like I said, it's sometimes it's brother against brother. It's family against family. It's, mom might have graduated from Bozeman. Dad might have graduated from Montana and so on. And literally it's bragging rights. It's a bone of contention, you know, all year long. And I, you know what, I shouldn't say I've never, but guarantee there's a lot of fisticuffs that have broken out over the years, you know, family squabbles and friends, and it's tough to describe. It's like defending your mother's honor, or invading army. I don't even know, Tom. It is just, it's crazy.
Yeah, I get that. I like defending your mother's honor. That's that kind of, I think, gets to it. Scott Guernsey is with us, number 21, formerly number 21, played for the Montana Grizzlies, 91 through 94, all Big Sky Conference, wide receiver and punter. I think people maybe forget about that, but that you hung your hat on that as well. Played with a lot of great people, played under Don Reed for all those years. Dave Dickinson was his quarterback. Of course, Burt Wilberger. Matt Wells, another great all-time receiver. I mentioned some of those players. Do you guys get in touch more this week, Scott?
Yeah, actually you do. I'd say homecoming and this week, there's some questions on what's going on, or hey, you know, I'm coming to town for this one, you know, let's get together. Those two weekends especially, and you'll get you'll just get the random text from somebody with it's a three-letter text with maybe a couple of exclamation marks behind it, but it's funny. What do they say? Families get together, weddings and funerals. Well, former players, it's homecoming and Grizz Cat Week.
That's really cool. I want to talk about some of those memories that you do have, but let's go to one question here. Maybe we throw in the College Game Day experience coming to Bozeman for this, but they did move this game, like you say. It used to be around October, around Halloween. Then they moved it to Rivalry Week, which was a really good idea. But now there's just so much playoff implications surrounding it. I don't know if it has that same atmosphere. I know that's a whole different level, and it adds some intensity to it, but it also kind of takes away from the intensity because, it's not the final statement that the team is going to make on the season.
No, I don't know about the intensity level. It's, you know, it's funny. There's a lot of talk about, you always hear the, you know, did they overlook a team? Did they, I don't believe in that kind of stuff. And, mm-hmm. and when you step on the field and to play the Cats, you're not thinking about the next week in the playoffs. You're just not. You're thinking about sending a message, beating those guys across the line from you. And if you've got other things on your mind other than that, then you probably shouldn't be playing football. So I think it just adds to it. It you're licking your chops for the entire year as opposed to maybe half the year, and it's a good way to end the regular season for sure.
Do you? I got a couple minutes here. What does College Game Day being there in Bozeman mean for this game and this conference?
Well, I think that everybody in Bozeman should be thanking their lucky stars that that the Montana Grizzlies actually pretty much made this happen. And if you look from the if you looked at the quote from the Big Sky Commissioner this week, he alluded to that. Montana laid all of the groundwork for this game last year, and if you remember, you know, last year this Saturday coming up, there was a ton of rivalry games at the FBS level, and so they weren't coming to do ours, and this year there's really not. So game day was looking for a place to go, and you know, it's too bad they're going to probably the third or fourth best college facility in the state. It's a shame that it's not in Missoula, and but that's okay. It just adds just a little more fire to the game. It's going to be exciting, and it's great for the state, and it is great for the conference.
I certainly appreciate that dig. And I've been watching, you know, the chatter about it all. So I know that some Grizzly fans are burned by it, but nonetheless, I mean, it'll be a great showcase. Okay, you got 30 seconds here. Who is your favorite Grizzly player?
Oh, of all time?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, Tom. Who is my favorite all right. Grizzly player of?
I'll tell you what. You
maybe when we come back.
Yeah. Let's think about that. We got a few minutes with Scott Guernsey, number 20, formerly number 21, I should say. His son's going to play for the Grizzlies as well. Cameron came out of Butte High. We'll talk about that as well as we continue on here. This 121st Brawl of the Wild.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
General season is here, and in 2022, Montana FWP is continuing CWD, chronic wasting disease, surveillance across Montana. If you harvest a deer, elk, or moose in these surveillance areas, please stop at a CWD sampling station. And to find a sampling station, please visit the FWP website. For information about getting your animal tested for free by FWP, proper carcass disposal, and assistance with sampling your animal, visit fwp.mt.gov/CWD.
The fastest hour in Montana radio continues. Call 866-627-5483 and join Montana's statewide radio talk show, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz.
Welcome back. I appreciate you being here. I guess something comes over me, too, this time of year, just being a fan of football, fan of the state of Montana. And I look at all these players and these names, and I've grown accustomed to following them and talking with them. Brian Salonen. You know, Rocky Cleaver, Guy Bingham, and it goes back here. Barry Darrow, Carl Stein, Scott Guernsey's among those names as well. Who is your favorite player? Give us a text message here if you like, 781-627-5483. I didn't think about asking that, but do that, 781-627-5483. Got one message in here. Thanks for that. My favorite Grizz player, Dave Dickinson. And then in a second message, go Grizz. Scott Guernsey with us here, again, part of the broadcast team for the University of Montana and a Grizzly great, played from 91 through 94. He's with Great Western Petroleum now. And Scott, I should ask, you're storing diesel anywhere?
I don't, you know, it's kind of like when they ask Coach Bobby Houck about injuries. I don't know, Tom, you know, it's, yeah, but, you know.
That's a game day decision. Yeah.
Well, you're lumping me in with those old timers, Tom. I don't know if I appreciate that or not, but those were some really, really outstanding players. And I guess if I were to pick my favorite all-time player, there's a bunch of them, but I'd probably have to say Mark Mariani. You know, the outstanding tennis player from Havre, Montana.
That's funny. And I didn't date you. Father Time's been doing that for a while, Scott. And you know, let's go into this. You're now, I've been following the career of your son Cameron, playing. He's now decided to play for the University of Montana. Congratulations on that. Played for Butte High. Playoff runs throughout his high school career. What's tougher, you know, playing the game of football or being a parent watching a son play the game of football?
You know what, Tom? I think that the toughest and the most rewarding, stressful job in the world is being the parent. And you know what? All you do all along is, you know, number one, you hope that, you know, your kid does well, and number two, you just hope that that he's healthy. And it's football games are exciting to watch, but it's a relief when they're over. Just had a real joy of watching him, you know, play football, you know, throughout the years. You know, Kevin Stenson over there in Butte was his first tackle football coach, and Ari Gray picked up after that. And you know, you couldn't have Ari Gray is a leader of men over there in Butte, Montana, and just really happy that Cameron got to experience football through him and his coaching staff. But yeah, Cameron committed here, I think early signing dates in a couple of weeks or something, Tom?
I think so, yep.
I don't know the exact date, but he's excited. He, you know, he's about 6'1 and about 180 pounds, so he's a little different shape than I am. But he works hard, and he's gonna work a lot harder once he steps on campus over here.
Well, he's had a good career there, and we'll be following him too. You know, do you see yourself in him now? I'm teasing you here, but I go back to the record books, and I talked about career receiving yards for a season, 1079. When you left in '93, that was still at the top of the record books. It's not there anymore, but still up there, top 10. Pass receptions. You also have career receiving yards. I looked for longest touchdown receptions, and I didn't see your name on that one.
You know, I it was 70-something. It was on the list, but you know what? There's been some long ones since. You know, there's only so much ink that you could put on a page, Tom. And so
I tease you.
I'm falling down the list.
I tease you because you teased yourself about that. You know. What does it take to play college football nowadays? Is it the same as it was in the early 90s?
No, it's not.
Yeah.
I will tell you right now that the lead up to playing, the training, it is way more, position specific. You've got guys that might train with the team and have their own trainers. I think that the nutrition and the supplement part of it has grown by leaps and bounds. And you know what? It's not so much, you know, back in the day you wanted to get big, and now I think that it's more of a flexibility. You know, you still want to be strong, but it's way more. It's way more, you know, designed by the position, and I tell you what, Tom, we drank a lot of beer when I was playing football, and I'm pretty sure they don't do that as much these days.
Yeah.
And I think that all those kids are better for it.
Yeah, you know, I would tend to agree too. Speed has changed the game an awful lot, and when you're you may not be blessed with the fastest speed, but there are ways you can work through that, and you know, fitness is part of that. And then having the good hands.
Of course, you know, you need to be a good athlete. I think you need to be cerebral. I think you need to be able to, you know, you need to be smart, especially with a receiver. You need to learn coverages and tendencies, and there's a lot of idiosyncrasies in running routes, and it's interesting. When you're a kid in high school, you don't get to run very sophisticated routes. A lot of time your quarterback doesn't have a lot of time to throw the ball, or a quarterback that can even get you the ball on a consistent basis. So I think Cameron, and just specifically talking about him, he's going to get a real good education that first year, not only by his coaches, but other teammates. And, you know, he's gonna learn how to be a receiver. The kids that go to college are usually the best athletes on their team. And then once you get down there, you fine tune it, and you learn your trade. You trade, art, whatever it is. You're going to learn a lot those first 2 years you step foot on a college campus.
Scott Guernsey is with us here again. Grizzly great, played 91 through 94. Never lost to the Bobcats. As we talk about this 121st rivalry upcoming here, Brawl of the Wild. Do you like the name Brawl of the Wild, or you like Grizzcat, Cat Grizz?
You know what? I like Brawl of the Wild because it's easy for people, because they always say it wrong. They say Cat Grizz, and that's wrong. It's Grizz Cat. But if you're going to continue to get it wrong, you might as well find something that people, Brawl of the Wild, I don't think that I liked it too much when they came up with it. But it's grown on me, and that's Brawl of the Wild. It's cool because, Montana's one of the last frontiers anymore.
Yeah, I guess I like it too. And the whole Grizzcat. Here's my thing. I think I've said it already. Whoever won the last game, they get to have the first name in the contest, the next year contest. So Montana won last year, so it's Grizzcat. And then
I'm fine with that. Fine with that, Tom.
Yeah, there's rights. There's bragging rights, and they mean something. So when after you won this game, and you did for 4 years in a row, while you were part of that 16-game winning streak, which is just monumental and almost ridiculous to talk about, 16-9, 29-17, 42-30, that was 93. You had 173 yards in that game. And then the next year in 94, Montana won 55-20, had 190 and 8 catches in that game as well. I forgot where I was going with that, but there's lots of things to talk about here. Talk about this current team. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, Tom, but when you bring up the numbers, I think there's a couple of things that I'm most proud of in my career, and it usually all revolves around, the Grizzcat game. I believe I'm still the all-time leader in yardage and touchdowns, scored by a receiver either side of the ball in the rivalry. They had was it in 2000, maybe, they had an all-century team, Grizz and Cats, and I was on there for the Grizzlies, and that almost means as much to me as anything in my career, just to know that I brought it to the game, and the most important one in the eyes of a lot of people in the state of Montana. So, very proud of that. And currently, it's been interesting. I honestly, when the Cats went on their four game winning streak here recently, I honestly think that they beat us all four games. They've only really socked us in the mouth once. The other ones, we kind of gave them away or for whatever reason. You got to play the game, and kudos to the Cats for getting those victories. But it's been interesting. Last year, Montana, kind of came back into the driver's seat, so to speak. And Saturday's going to be an interesting ball game.
What do you see?
Well, I see the one-dimensional offense of the Cats playing against one of the best run defenses that the Grizz have ever had, and then I see a multi-dimensional offense for the Grizzlies going against one of the weaker defenses that the Cats have had in a long time. I've seen us lose a couple of games. That Sac State game was one that was definitely taken from us. The Weber game and Sac, we don't have our quarterback. Montana State, I don't want to say got lucky at Eastern Washington, but pulled that out. Weber State at their place gave them 8 points and then had to kick the ball right back to them those four times on those safeties. And they barely eked it out at NAU. And I don't know. I think that... I think that if, and I love Tommy Mellott.
Yeah.
You want to talk about a great kid and a representative for, you know, the town of Butte, Montana, Butte, America, Lady of the Rockies. He's just a great kid.
Cameron played with him, right?
Yeah. Well, no, Tommy was a senior when Cameron was a freshman.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Got to catch them both, but great role model for not only Cameron, but all those kids over there. I think that if Montana State has a chance to be in this game, they're going to need to be able to throw the ball, and something they really haven't done on a consistent basis so far this year.
Well, I like it that both teams, you know, they've had their ups and downs throughout the season, but I think I've seen both teams rise to the occasion. I wouldn't say it happens 100% of the time, but I think there'll be a lot of that in this contest. I think there'll be a number of swings as well, and I think they'll be pretty close. I'm really looking forward to it. Scott, I know I got to let you go here. Do you want to throw out a prediction, or do you want to just kind of pass on that?
Oh, no, I'll throw out a prediction.
Yeah, baby.
I think we're going to go down there and take care of business. I think the Bobcats might get might have a couple of big plays on us. Like I said, they run the ball, about as good as anybody in the country. But that's kind of what our defense specializes in, is stopping the run. And I think that's what's going to happen on Saturday. And I think that I'm not going to give you a score, because I really don't. I saved that for Denny. He'd get mad at me if I gave you a score.
Got you, Denny Bedard, your pregame host, co-host. Yeah.
Yeah, and I really put a lot of thought into that too. So don't want to give that away, but and that's a joke. But I think Montana's going to go to Bozeman and take care of business.
Oh, that's cool. Well, Scott, I hope you're well. I hope everything's going good for you and everybody there. I worked with you and a lot of those colleagues for a number of years. So give them my best, okay? And go Grizz.
I will, Tom. And it was great to talk to you. Thanks for letting me come on. And go Grizz.
You know what? I heard you say, I mean, this was a while ago, I just reread an article. It was hard to be friends with the Cats, but you've since become familiar with a few of them.
It's really funny. The fans, the most of the players for the most part on Montana State are good dudes. I've got to know a few of them. And that hatred dissipates.
Yeah.
You got to grow up, you know, and you get a little mellow when you age. And
it's true. So you would give me Rob Tesh's phone number?
Absolutely.
All right. Do that, because I'll get him on the air for Friday if he's available. Yeah. Yeah. and then we'll hear what he thinks about it all.
You know what? And he'll give you his opinion too.
Scott, thanks, man. Good to catch up with you. Good luck to the Grizz this weekend.
Hey, you too, Tom. Thank you.
Yep. We're back with more in just a bit.
Well, I'm a military veteran. It's been tough at times finding enough money to put food on the table.
Paul Barnes, veteran, Missoula.
The Missoula Pavarello Center has been a huge help, providing groceries when I need it, especially since the cost of food keeps going up.
Town Pump is again partnering with food banks and Montanans to raise money to feed our hungry neighbors. Donate today at a Town Pump store, casino, or local food bank, and Town Pump will double your cash gift.
Hunger can affect anybody. Local food banks can be lifesavers.
All right, I'll try to get a Bobcat great on for Friday, and then it'll be Go Cats Go, right? Thank you. Thanks to all. To Scott Guernsey, also Matt Rosendale. We'll talk more tomorrow. It's more Grizz Cat football. Riley Corcoran will be on the air. He's the play-by-play voice of the Grizz. And then also Keaton Galugli, the new play-by-play voice of the Montana State Bobcats. Till then, take care.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers, and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.